is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonitotum, episode 62. Hello, my friends. On this and every episode of Sonitotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Every episode, I like to start off by talking about what I've accomplished or achieved or faced or dealt with or learned with regard to my creative endeavors since we last spoke, about a week ago or so, at least as I record this, which, by the way, it's December 3rd, 2022. It's just me and the cat, and the cat is sleeping, so we're going to take advantage of that before he starts yowling again. He gets all out of sorts when the routine is busted up. You know how it is, perhaps. Maybe you have a cat. Maybe that's just how you are. That's how I am, a little bit. I've learned that I like systems. I like a little bit of order. Conditional, though. I like it when the order is something that I've imposed, not when someone else has imposed it. I really, really have never liked it when other people are telling me what to do, which is probably why I have mostly been an independent self-publisher, a DIY unsigned musician, and so on and so forth. It's also why I haven't worked for other people in an official, real, regular employment job for 11 years ago, earlier this week, the anniversary of the last day of my last regular employment. You know, I remember the 10-year anniversary of that and feeling a little bit like, whew, a little mixed feelings. And even it's not that my situation has just become that much better in the last year, but I no longer have any variety of mixed feeling. I hope that I never, ever, 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 ever have to punch a clock again, unless it's my clock and my punch card. In the house by myself for a little while here, free range creativity and client work and this podcast. Hi. So, what has happened in the previous week? Well, I managed to get installment number 80 for Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, my free serial, my fiction serial that I offer my mailing list subscribers every week, absolutely free as a thank you for becoming part of the mailing list community. And as of earlier this week, I also offer it to my patrons who pledge $5 a month. All 80 installments can be accessed on my website if you are part of the member community for $5 a month. So the way that works, if you haven't heard me explain this in the past, the serial comes out one installment per week for free to mailing list subscribers. So, you know, every week, new installment, and you start at installment number one when you subscribe. But if you're a patron for $5 a month, among the many other perks and bonuses and special access that you get all the installments archived there at the website. So you don't have to wait, to catch up and read all of the installments. And yeah, I just put up number 80. Which also means we're just short of 90,000 words on Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, how it all got started, the fiction serial, which it's rapidly becoming the longest thing I've written, a little bit at a time. Kind of crazy. Anyway, so I put up an installment of Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, sent that out to the mailing list. And you know, last episode, I talked about how the new member community was going to work and how it was simplified, made less expensive, and provided more stuff to everyone. Got more content up on the website. The wiki is getting more and more content. And the wiki, again, is something that is just for patrons. So I did that. And what else? I have been doing some online courses. I've really got kind of the bug to learn 3D graphic arts, environment creation, 3D graphics, animation, world building stuff. So I have both of the top of class tools in this niche, and that would be Blender, which is a free open source 3D graphics and animation, and it's the whole package, really. You could do just about anything in Blender. I mean, people make entire animated movies in Blender. So I've got that, and I have Unreal Engine, which is what a lot of games and the special effects and backdrops and scenery in a lot of movies is made in this free, remarkably free piece of software. So I started learning Blender, and that's coming along. I'm understanding the basic concepts. And I've, a long time ago, bought a course for Unreal Engine, and I'm going to finally, I think, really dedicate myself to getting through that this month. Because here's what I want to do. I have this vision. And I, well, number one, I mean, this is the main reason. It's just really for me. I want to create as close to complete as possible a walkthrough, an environment, they call it, of my Shaper's world, story world, especially the continent of Cabrith, where most of the action takes place in what I've written so far. Now, Unreal Engine, the most recent version, lets you create an environment that is quite literally, in terms of square kilometers, it's as large as a continent, which is crazy. And, you know, I could piece by piece, I could make this thing little by little over time. And just, you know, start in one area and move from there. Anyway, it's really just a passion project. I want to be able to open my computer and drop down into the Shaper's world and kind of walk around in it. I don't know. I think that would be neat. And it seems like a neat way to learn how to use Unreal Engine, you know, for creating this environment. And how to use Blender for creating the various plants and buildings and even animals and such. And of course, the other side of that is these are skills that are marketable. I could see creating book cover art and things like that with my knowledge of these programs. Anyway, so you can tell I'm kind of excited about it. But that's one of the things that I've been playing around with this week. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend till tomorrow being a lot more creative stuff. I played bass today for about 3 hours. You know, Spotify does this end of the year thing where they make a playlist of your most played songs. And so I just let that play and I tried playing along with everything. And I do that a lot anyway, so it's no surprise that a lot of the songs that came up in this most played favorites for 2022 are songs that I often queue up in order to play bass along with. And it felt good. You know, my chops are improving, getting better. And I've been playing bass for a long, long time, but I am not as polished as I once was when I was actively playing in bands and stuff. Yeah, so that's what's going on creatively. Let's get into the main topic. So I've made it no secret. In fact, I've talked about it on the podcast in the past that I'm not a big fan of genre classification. you know, like this book is fantasy and this book is science fiction and this book is a Western and this book is literary fiction and this book is horror and so on and so forth. And within each of those genres, you know, this fantasy book is a cultivation fantasy and this fantasy book is reverse harem and this fantasy is lit RPG and this fantasy is epic fantasy and so on and so on and so on. And the same thing with science fiction, you know, military sci-fi, cyberpunk, urban science fiction, social science fiction, hard science fiction, soft science fiction, science fantasy. Don't even get me started on the romance genre, which it seems like every like combination of relationship partners is a subgenre. It's just, and this is my problem with it. When you have so many subdivisions and little boxes divided into more boxes and more boxes and more boxes, you end up with, well, you end up with things stuck in boxes and readers boxing themselves in. And the bookstores, especially the online bookstores, and let's talk about Amazon, of course, because that's where most people buy their books if they buy books online in the United States. If you're overseas, if you're one of my international listeners in the UK or Spain or Germany, or any other country, sound off. You may not be mainly using Amazon. You may be using Kobo or, you know, something else. But the point is that especially Amazon, they have a very extensive taxonomy, a very extensive category and subcategory and sub-subcategory setup. And a lot of writers tend to try to figure out, well, where is my book going to best fit in that system of Amazon categories? And readers, because Amazon's algorithm rewards readers who kind of stay in their lane, if a reader buys something in a particular subgenre, Amazon naturally is going to show them more things in that subgenre and fewer things outside of that subgenre. And therein, I think, is the problem. Because if the place you go to buy your books only ever shows you stuff it thinks you're going to like within a limited subset of all the things that you possibly could like, then the reader is going to miss out. And the writer, who maybe doesn't fit into one of those neat little boxes, is going to miss reaching readers. Now, as a reader, when I was a kid and still, I was reading all over the place, all different genres, all kinds of different authors, fantasy and science fiction and horror and mysteries and techno thrillers and just all of it. And I came to love all of it to one degree or another. And then I came to discover authors who would not color in the lines, you know, who would cross science fiction and fantasy, who might be known as a particular type of writer, but also write something else. And because I loved the author, I would just read whatever. Ray Bradbury, perfect example of someone who is known as a fantasist. Some of his favorite books for me are his mysteries or, you know, his lovely, completely literary books like Dandelion Wine, where there isn't really any kind of fantastic element. He's just a great writer. But as a writer myself, I have tended to create without much regard for, you know, what box is this going to fit in? My most recent novel, Light of the Outsider, it is a fantasy because it takes place in a made-up world and there is something that seems like magic and people use swords and wear armor and whatnot. But really, it is a character-driven literary novel with a lot of elements of a thriller. There's a kidnapping, and there's crime, and there's violence, and a mystery, and but there's also underneath it all this what could best be described as element of cosmic horror. So where do you put that? Is it an epic fantasy? Well, there's no knights, there's no horses, there's no quest, there's no farm boy who becomes a prince. Is it low fantasy? Well, it doesn't take place in this world. Is it urban fantasy? I mean, most of it takes place in a city, but it's not modern day Earth. It's not even Earth in the past. It's a whole different world. So is it science fiction? I fear that readers can't quite tell. I fear that my works, especially, if they're not written to be in one of those boxes, and I just don't do that, they slip through the cracks. The follow-up to Light of the Outsider, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay, couldn't be more different. Even though three of the characters in it are also in Light of the Outsider. Because just like the real world, one day you might feel like you're living in a mystery. The next day you might feel like you're living in a love story. Fiction should be as flexible and complex as real life. The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay is a very gentle story of love and friendship and illness and difficult choices. But there's no physical fights. There's a lot of arguments. There's no physical fights. There's no magic. There are some strange beasts, but they're mostly the things that the people ride. They're mostly the things that are pulling their wagons, you know? But it takes place in the same story world as Light of the Outsider. And all of the magical, weird, fantasy things that are in Light of the Outsider, well, they exist in the world of The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay because it's the same world. But other than the overarching umbrella of, quote, fantasy, unquote, it's not the same genre. So a reader of Light of the Outsider, they go to The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay and they're going to have a whole different experience. I think that's a feature. A lot of readers, because they have been indoctrinated by this rigid taxonomic system, are confused and don't know what to make of it. And they feel alienated, I can imagine. And they might not come back to read the next thing that I write. So I've got a problem with genre. I've got a problem with rigid taxonomies. I've got a problem with the way the marketplace wants us to put our books in a particular genre. And because the marketplace demands that, writers tend to think about writing for that genre. They look at what are the tropes and the themes of that genre, that sub genre. Does my story have the right stuff in it? How can I put in the right stuff so I can call this a whatever, so that I can make sure it fits in this very particular genre? Genres are stupid. But I have an alternative idea that I want to put out there. Something that especially Amazon is very suited to do as an alternative to the rigid hierarchical category, subcategory, subcategory taxonomy that they currently use. I think, first of all, that Amazon should be able to take in every word of every book that they sell and add that to a database and train an artificial intelligence to recognize every word of every book in the catalog, so that the AI can make suggestions not just based on what arbitrary assigned category or genre the book is, whether that's Amazon deciding or the author deciding, declaring, you know, this is a Western, this is a Civil War book, this is a submarine techno thriller, you know, whatever. But also if the AI, if an AI has analyzed every word, then it can start creating non-hierarchical taxonomies. It can start matching up books that have certain elements in common with other books. Like, gosh, I don't know, maybe location might be one thing. You want to read all the books that take place in Seattle, whether they're romance or police procedural or mystery or thriller or literary. Maybe you want to read books with a 35-year-old female professional with brown hair and a dog, not just a dog, a Rottweiler, you know? With an AI, it would be able to find those books if they exist. And if they don't exist, it would be smart enough with natural language training. It would be smart enough to be like, well, you know, this meets all the criteria, except the dog's not a Rottweiler, but I'm going to suggest it anyway to this reader with the caveat that the dog is a German Shepherd. Maybe you want to read books that are in the style of a writer you already appreciate. You should be able to type in, show me all the books written in the style of Ursula K. Le Guin, or with a similar writing style to Ursula K. Le Guin. And Amazon should be able to spit back to you very literary, very well-written books of a variety of genres. Maybe they have an anthropological or a sociological underpinning to them. Some might be science fiction, some might be historical fiction, some, you know, who knows? But the AI would recognize sort of the tone and style of that particular author and be able to understand what other authors are similar. I think you get the idea. And so the reader would no longer be, unintentionally or not, stuck in a silo and only being shown the same types of books over and over and over again. And the reader would be able to branch out, would be able to discover things that they might not ordinarily discover. I mean, let's face it, that was or is in more rare and rare cases, that was the experience that you would have when you go into a bookstore, a physical brick and mortar bookstore. You could just browse the stacks. And sure, you might go directly to your favorite section. I mean, let's face it, bookstores do this genre categorization thing too. It's where it started, of course. But you're also walking past, when you walk in the door, you're walking past all these different types of books, right? On your way to your favorite section, and you might catch, you know, your eye might be caught by something. You might want to, you know what, I'm finally going to maybe read a book by that other author that I keep seeing every time I walk into this bookstore. And of course, bookstores have booksellers, which is something that online bookstores don't have. The online bookseller is basically you and your buying habits and your search habits, and it's woefully inadequate, because it really only recommends to you things that are very similar to what you've already bought. A great bookseller will extrapolate. A great bookseller will think beyond the narrow and make those connections. You know what? If you really like this author, look, maybe this other genre is not usually your thing, but this author is very similar to that author. And if you like the one author, you might like the other. This is how people become well-read, you know? And I think it would, of course, also help authors to really, truly reach the readers who are out there but aren't aware that the author exists. So we need a non-hierarchical, very, very smart classification system, algorithm-driven, AI-driven classification system that bases its recommendations on the fact that essentially It's like a bookseller who literally has read everything in the store. So they can make and they don't forget anything either. Let's not ignore that. So they can make the best recommendations possible. That's what we need in online bookstores. We need a system where you, the reader, are not also the bookseller, making suggestions to yourself in a sort of a snake eating its own tail, self-perpetuating, limited practice. That's my idea of how to reduce the negative impact that tight genre classification, siloing, gatekeeping has on the author's ability to reach readers and the reader's ability to discover things that they would love, but they don't know how to find. They don't know what they don't know. What do you think? Is that something that would work? Maybe there's online bookstores that are doing this and I don't even know it yet. I'd love your feedback. See what you think. I mean, granted, this episode was pretty heavy for just writers, but that is, you know, that's mostly who I'm talking to, I think. But you're probably a reader. So either as an author or a reader, and of course, if you are an author, you are also a reader. What do you think of that idea? What do you think about genre restrictions? As an author, are you deeply concerned with how your book is going to get categorized? And if you categorize it wrong, or if it gets categorized wrong, are you afraid of the impact it might have on your sales? As a reader, do you like discovering new things that are sort of outside your comfort zone? Or do you like to stay in that one little section of the bookstore? I'd like your feedback on this. As always, you can go to mattselznick.com and leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, episode 62 of Sonatotum. Just go to the podcast section of the website and you will see all the episodes there. And episode 62 will be the first, if not right among the first, depending on when you actually listen to this. You can also just send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. If you want, you can record a brief voice message. You know, maybe do that on your phone and just email that to me at matt@mattselznick.com. If you do the voice message thing, I will play it in the show and then respond to you right there. And of course, if you email me or leave a comment on the website, I will respond in kind. Let's hear about it. Let's see what you think about this idea of kind of freeing up and improving the recommendation engine of online bookstores. If you appreciate Sonatotum, wherever you get your podcasts, please remember to subscribe to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button so that you automatically get new episodes of Sonatotum every time they come out. And while you're in there, most podcasting apps and podcasting platforms have a way to rate and review a podcast. Please do that. I'd really appreciate it. Rating and reviewing helps show the podcast app's algorithm. We're at the mercy of these algorithms. It helps to show the algorithm that the show is being listened to and being appreciated so that when other people are searching for similar things, Sonatotum will come up at the top of the list and we can build the listener community, the audience, the folks who are taking this in every week. Please rate and review. A rating 4 or 5 stars just takes a few seconds. A review in your own words takes a little longer and the impact is exponentially larger, so I appreciate it either way. Ratings and reviews. Thank you for taking the time to do that. Earlier, I mentioned the member community over there at mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or patreon.com/mattselznick. I like to make sure that I thank my Patreons, my multiversalists who are pledging $5 a month to support the show and my creative endeavors. Our tiny but mighty and greatly appreciated cohort of patrons this month include Ted Leonhardt, and Chuck Anderson, both $5 per month patron supporters. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. $5 a month gets you uncut, unedited editions of this very podcast. And anything that I create in digital form, ebooks, audiobooks, music, sketches, poetry, whatever it is that I happen to come up with, if I release it to the world, and even stuff that I don't release to the world that's just for you patrons, you will get as a patron for just $5 a month for the duration of your patronage. We have a chat server where we can hang out. We have a monthly live video group chat where we all hang out. There are other perks and access, like I mentioned earlier. Every single installment of my fiction serial is there on the website just for member patrons. And my wiki, every little detail, constantly expanding, of all of my story worlds and other creative endeavors, it's all there. I'm not holding anything back. As a patron, you also get access to my works in progress. If I create something, like I'm working on this next novel, Shadow of the Outsider. So if I write words in Shadow of the Outsider, I send that to you. You get to see it in progress, warts and all, uncut, unedited, as fresh as I have just written it. You also get lots of access to sort of behind the scenes materials like character sketches and maps and brainstorming and everything that's kind of book or fiction or whatever I'm working on, everything that's kind of adjacent to that, that goes into the thinking but doesn't make it into the final product, I share that with you. It's a lot. And you can find out all about the benefits of becoming a member over there at mattselznick.com/b-a-patron. $5 a month. It really helps offset the cost and the time and the energy and the effort that goes into especially making this podcast for you every week. So consider dropping, you know, around the cost of a large fancy coffee drink. Certainly less than a fast food combo meal. Consider dropping $5 every month to help support the show. Now, at the end of every episode, there's something I like to do as a thank you to you for listening all the way through. And that is offer you some discounts and special offerings, offer you an offering on some of my creative services, my day job. I'm a self-employed creative services provider. I help other authors and podcasters and other creators bring their works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. If you're a creator, if you're a writer, maybe you just finished NaNoWriMo. I can probably help you in some way. And as a thank you to you, the Sonatotum listener, and only to you, I don't mention this anywhere else in any other form, you have to have listened all the way through to the end of Sonatotum to learn about this. I have some discounts and offers only for you on some of my creative services offerings. Just go to mattselznick.com/listener-love to find out about the current offerings. There may be something there that you can use. And as I mentioned, there's a discount involved just because you've listened to this episode of Sonatotum and because I love you. Okay, I wanted to keep this one a little shorter. I wanted to address a specific topic and not ramble on and on too much about it. Thank you for allowing me to express my ideas on how to improve the taxonomic categorization that I believe limits both authors and readers in especially online bookstores. I think my idea is not just doable, but would really improve the whole thing. So thanks for letting me share that with you. And yeah, I think that's it. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.